You're listening to True North with Pastor Gary Cottle of Gary Cottle Ministries.
There's such a bigger picture of kingdom-mindedness and Jesus going after the lost, and we get so tripped up over the sacrifices that it requires of us, sacrificing our pride and our surrender and our money and our time, and we just like, they never ask, they always ask for too much. I just do what I do and that's all I can do. Are you going to keep telling the Lord that's all you can do, or are you going to finally realize what He paid and say, you know what, He can't ask me to do anything too much?
What would have happened to the world if Jesus had decided not to go through with the crucifixion? After all, the people who mocked Jesus as he hung on the cross had a point. At any time, Jesus could have said, "Actually, never mind," and disappeared without fulfilling the task he had been set to accomplish. Pastor Gary teaches you today that Jesus paid a high price for your salvation, and you owe a great debt that cannot be paid back. What Jesus asks for in return is your obedience and your faith. Now here's Pastor Gary in the book of John chapter 13 as he continues his message, God's Search for Surrender.
Jesus stooped to wash his disciples' feet. And so the word surrender is a foundational principle. If you can stay surrendered to the Lord in your life, He can use you. That is foundational. You can't build without a foundation. God's not going to entrust to our care anything of significance if we are not first surrendered to His Lordship. Some of you praying for big blessings, but you'll not give God the part that He's asking for. Could it be that what God's holding back in your life is because of what you're holding back from Him? Are you hearing what I'm saying? We saw Peter's resistance, "Not so, Lord," which is pride dressed up as humility, resisting surrender. Then we saw Jesus' insistence, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." So we see that fellowship requires surrender at the foundational level of the heart. And then we see the application of the tithe and how that the tithe could be looked at as the feet of our finances. Amen. The foundation, the base, square number one. Base one, God is searching there first, because the foundation must be surrendered before the whole life can be consecrated. Amen. Did not Jesus say, "Now, if I wash your feet, that's good enough"? Here's what God knows. If you tithe because you have a surrendered heart, not because you're told to, not because you want to save face, not because you feel pressured and your arm is twisted, but because you're truly surrendering and worshiping the Lord with your tithe, then you release the covenant power of God to do what He said He would do in return. And it's foundational to our faith. So just as Jesus would not let Peter avoid surrender, God will not bypass the foundation of something as simple as our giving. It just ain't going to do it. So number two, I want to say God searches for the missing portions. This is so good, y'all. I was asking the Lord, because the Lord started talking to me about my tithe, but the first text He took me to was Peter getting his feet washed. And I'm like, what does that have to do with tithes? Amen. Okay, and I prayed about it, and the Lord gave it to me. Y'all go with me. Y'all go with me to the Luke chapter 15 real quick. Luke chapter 15. All right, remember we just illustrated Peter sitting, Jesus kneeling on the floor, right? Okay, now picture Jesus. Y'all get this picture of Jesus kneeling before Peter and washing his feet on his knees, perhaps. Y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. Bear that in mind for just a moment. Luke chapter 15, verse number 8. Either what woman having how many pieces of silver? Ten. Okay. If she lose how many pieces?
One.
What is one tenth?
Five.
Really? Okay, pay attention. If she lose one piece, doeth not light a candle and sweep the house. Now, let me ask you ladies something. If you sweep the entire house looking for something small and valuable, what is the chances of you having to get on your hands and knees to find it? 99%. Let me propose to you that just as Jesus had to lower himself to the posture of a servant to wash Peter's feet and his disciples' feet, this lady had to undoubtedly, most likely, unless her broom reached it and she didn't have to get down on all four, most likely, ordinarily, she would have had to get in the same posture and lower herself to see below the furniture and look around till she found it. Now, I want you to get that mental image in your picture, because this is how the Lord talked to me about this. And I'm like, whoa. And then I was like, whoa. And then I was like, whoa, you know. Some of y'all get that. All right, now watch your Bible. Okay, where was I at? Verse 8. So, and swept the house diligently till she find it. Right, verse 9, now watch. And when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. So she's throwing a party over this. I wonder if she spent all of that money on the party that she just found. I don't know, but watch verse 10. Likewise, all right, before I read this, you need to understand something. What we just read was not the story. It was just a metaphor. The story is in verse 10. This is the application. This is what Jesus is leading toward. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that what? Repenteth. It wasn't about the money. It was about the surrendered heart. And the Bible just showed us a text where repentance was directly connected to a tithe, that which was missing being found and restored. Okay? You with me? So I'm getting this picture now of Jesus looking through his church. I wish I had a broom up here. Sweeping and garnishing, and he's noticing all those Christians that are not obedient in their giving, and it's breaking his heart, and he's looking up under the furnace. He's looking to see where's this, and he's not looking for your money, Brother Robert. He's looking for our heart of surrender, because he knows that if we're disobedient in that which is least, then we'll also be disobedient in that which is greater. And he knows that if we can't give our heart posture to God and surrender over something small, then he can't use us to the capacity that he wants to use us. So is the tithe important to the New Testament church? It absolutely is, because it's not about your money, and I can say that emphatically without any shadow of a doubt. It's about your heart's posture.
That's right. Amen.
And what he's looking for is, have you passed the test? Have you passed the test of surrender? Have you given the Lord everything he's asked of you? Or are you still playing around in the dark and acting like God's ignoring or don't see, and you're just hoping to scrape by without having to do all that God's asked of you? Now, at this moment where Jesus was washing Peter's feet, he had not yet gone to the cross. How much more powerful were the commands of Jesus to his disciples after he paid the ultimate sacrifice? Remember, he said, now you're not going to understand this right now, but you'll soon know. When do you think it occurred to Peter, the full ramifications of what Jesus was doing? Could it be that after Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice and after he rose from the dead while Peter was out there fishing on the boat, he said, tell the disciples and Peter where I'm headed next. Yeah. Could it be that at that moment when they said, maybe Peter said, did he mention my name? Maybe Peter was so heartbroken that he disappointed his Lord, that maybe he thought that his Lord was so heartbroken that he would never ask him to do anything again because he blew it. He was not obedient in the trust that Jesus had entrusted to him. But when Jesus said, tell the disciples and Peter, I think Peter leaped. I think he said, boy, I can't believe that this Look what a servant we have for a master. How could I ever tell him no to anything? And so the next conversation they're having is, Peter, do you love me? Peeling it back layer by layer. Lord, you know that I love you. No, Peter, do you really love me? Lord, you know I really love you. And Peter, do you really, really, really love me? Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I really, really, really love you. I'm just simplifying it for you. He said, well, feed my lambs. And Peter knew in that moment what that was going to cost him. It was already prophesied that he would die the death of a crucifixion. And for him to say to the Lord, I will feed your lambs, it was to say, I will pay the ultimate sacrifice to fulfill your call on my life. Amen. Now, what gave Peter the power to surrender at that level? The fact that Jesus did it first. He never asked us to do anything that he hadn't already done a whole lot more than we ever thought about doing. Brother Wells, how could we ever tell him no to anything that he asks? And yet we gripe over the silliest little things and act like we're being persecuted if we don't get our way sometimes. And there's such a bigger picture of kingdom-mindedness and Jesus going after the lost. And we get so tripped up over the sacrifices that it requires of us, sacrificing our pride and our surrender and our money and our time. And we just like, they never ask, they always ask for too much. I just do what I do and that's all I can do. Are you going to keep telling the Lord that's all you can do? Or are you going to finally realize what he paid and say, you know what? He can't ask me to do anything too much. I'm talking about God's search for surrender. He's sweeping the house, cleaning it, looking for that lost and hidden and valuable treasure. You say it's just 10%. Yeah, but it's his 10%. It's your surrender. That is his most treasured possession in the house of God, is his people's surrender and worship. Amen. And we can't give him that. Who do we think we're kidding? God is not after the coin itself. He's after the surrender that it represents. Heaven rejoices when the missing portion is restored, because that is what God treasures most. Heaven throws a party when you get right with God. Heaven throws a party when I get right with God. I know it says when a sinner repents. We usually apply that to the lost. But oh, how much better is it when someone who's a backslidden Christian gets right with his brother and then gets right with God? And the Bible says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Can I get an amen? Don't you want revival to hit the house of God? If we'll treasure what God treasures, we'll be surrendering what God asks. And then we'll be enjoying it as God does. Number three, God searches for spirit-filled obedience. Spirit-filled obedience. From Abraham to Paul, God's search for surrender is consistent throughout the Scripture. We saw regarding the tithe that Abraham commenced it. He tithed to Melchizedek after the blessing. Now this is important to understand. You know, the way this prosperity gospel teaching goes around, you know what they're teaching you? A pay-to-play model. You tithe, God blesses. You got it backwards. God blesses, you tithe. God blesses, you tithe. God blesses, you tithe. The reason Abraham tithed was not to get from God, but to give to God for what he'd already blessed him with. It was an act of worship. It was not a transactional for-profit gain kind of scheme. Amen. And if you'll worship him, you'll say, God owns 100% of us. That's all he's asking is 10. I tell you where he wants to get us. He wants to get us so surrendered that said, Lord, you ain't just asking for 10%. Surely, can I give more? You're like Peter all of a sudden. Well, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head. Wash me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. Do you want more than this? Then let me, where's the offering plate? Somebody pass it. I got to give before money burns a hole in my pocket. Because God's heart is connected to mine. Whew. The tithe was a response, not a bargain. Number two, the law codified it. It declared the tithe holy unto the Lord, Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. And then Malachi commanded it. It's taught in Malachi 3, 7 through 10 that withholding the tithe was withholding covenant surrender. And then Jesus commended it in verse 23 of chapter 23 when he told the scribes and Pharisees regarding the tithe, these things ought you to have done. And then Paul continued it in 1 Corinthians 16. Now, I know he didn't technically mention tithe. However, let me help you with this. Can I help you with this? Say, you can help me. All right. Where the Old Testament was a form, the Old Testament is the filling. Where the Old Testament was a foreshadowing, the New Testament is the essence. This principle applies across all of the moral laws. For example, thou shalt not kill. That's Old Testament. Would you argue that God no longer holds us to that standard? Of course not. God still feels the same way about not murdering as he ever did. Just because it's New Testament doesn't mean you have a pass to sin any old way you want to, because God covers you in grace. But I see Christians trying to get out of tithing because it's Old Testament. And they say I can't afford it. Now listen to me. We have better covenant upon better promises. Grace is an upgrade, not a downgrade. It has a higher standard, not a lower standard. Example, Jesus said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth in the Old Testament. He said, in the Old Testament, if you was caught in the act of adultery, you'd be stoned to death. But he said, in the New Covenant, if you even look on a woman and lust after, you've already committed adultery with her in the eyes of God. All right, let me help you with something else. I'm laying the groundwork to make the case that the tithe is for the New Testament believer. Paul reached into the Old Testament and pulled out an obscure verse that originally looked like it had nothing to do with the tithe at all. The law of how to deal with livestock. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. In the Old Testament application, what did that mean? It meant don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. But Paul saw a deeper spiritual principle under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he helped write the New Testament, and said, what that's referring to is don't expect your pastors to preach without fair compensation. How in the world did he draw that from that text? Holy Ghost. If it's in the Bible, it's legit. Am I right? Here's my point. There are principles in the Old Testament that, though the law itself in many regards is no longer kept, obviously we don't sacrifice the blood of bulls and of goats anymore. There's some things that we have dropped. There are some things that we still honor. All right, here's the deeper principle. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law for any believer. Brother Lester, that means that in the eyes of God, because of the blood of Jesus, I'm as righteous as Jesus himself before the eyes of the Heavenly Father. That's wild to me. But that's what the Bible teaches. So Jesus moves into our heart because our hearts are made pure by the blood. And God can dwell in clean vessels, and that vessel's been cleansed by the blood, so God can dwell there now. So now I do good works, not because I'm trying to keep the law, but because I'm honoring him. It's love-based, not effort-based. And so, positionally, I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as good as if I'm already there. Practically, I'm to do my best to live a way that would resemble the heart of God by keeping His commandments, so that other men may see my good works and glorify my Father, which is in heaven. Now, I got a question for you. If the law was that strong, why would we try to say all of a sudden that we don't have to honor tithes anymore? First, another thing you need to know is tithes came before the law. It was a covenant that Abraham made with God, and Melchizedek, if I understand the scripture correctly, was simply Christ Jesus pre-incarnate. Now, I know I'm in some deep water, but this was Jesus appearing in the Old Testament. He was and is that great high priest. Nobody knew where he came from. He wasn't given a lineage. Nobody knew where he went. His death was not recorded. In the Old Testament, Melchizedek is a picture of Jesus Christ, the great high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. If Abraham, the father of what? Faith. Started a giving covenant with God called the tithe before the law even was, why would we now who are in Christ, the great high priest, not stay in that same covenant of blessing by honoring God with the first fruits of all of our increase? Furthermore, what kind of work do we have today to support that replaced the Old Testament system of the temple? Well, it's called the church. And guess what? We have light bills to pay, and we got preachers to feed, and we got missionaries to support, and there's all kinds of expenses that we incur. We got a bus to buy because we got several people that would go to church right now if we could pick them up, and yet here we are, the house of God still struggling. I'm wondering if it's because we haven't totally surrendered yet. Just wondering, not accusing. This is between you and the Lord. So Malachi commanded it, Jesus commanded it, and Paul continued it. So grace does not lower the standard, it raises it. We now live under a better covenant with better promises, a greater high priest, Hebrews 8:6, Hebrews 12:24. And if under law they gave a tenth, how much more under grace, where Christ Himself fills the form with spirit and with joy?
Amen.
Amen. So don't talk to me about that anymore. I'm settled on it. Amen. So God, again, is not searching for reluctant givers bound by law, but surrendered givers set free by the grace of God who say, how could I not? God's search has always been for surrender. The feet of our finances must be washed. The missing portion must be found. The form must be filled with spirit-led obedience. The Lord does not primarily work with substance, which is money, but with surrender, which is your heart. You want to know what the currency of heaven is? The currency of heaven is surrender. God can work with surrender. The tithe is not taxing your wallet, it's God cleansing your walk. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from sin, but what I'm saying is that tithe is just a faith test that appropriates your faith where it needs to be. Because you cannot serve God and money. The Bible teaches that plainly. God knew there would always be a competition between Jesus being Lord and your wallet being Lord. And so what did He do for us for a favor? He commanded the tithe so that we'd constantly be reminded, Jesus first, God first, the kingdom first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things you're worried about, how we're going to feed ourselves, what we're going to wear, where we're going to go, all this kind. God will take care of all that. Amen. So anyone looking for an out misses the entire point. The tithe is the proving ground where God searches for surrender. And like Peter, our response should be, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.
Today's teaching is coming to an end, but you don't have to stop studying God's Word. Here at True North, we encourage each and every listener to dive into Scripture regularly on your own. As you do, ask the Holy Spirit to speak and for your heart to be receptive to what is being taught. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a new edition. If you'd like to learn more about True North or Pastor Gary, visit GaryCaudill.com. Would you like to plan a visit to worship and study the Bible with Pastor Gary? You can find all the information you need about where he teaches by visiting GaryCaudill.com. If you're not in the area, we do encourage you to find and begin attending a Bible teaching community near you. Find a church family you can live life with, investing in the next generations. If you have any questions or would like to find out how you can support Gary Caudill Ministries and True North, please reach out to Pastor Gary. He can be reached at contact@GaryCaudill.com. That email again is contact@GaryCaudill.com. We're at a point where we need to end our time with you today, but we are so looking forward to the next message right here on True North.